little less than 2 weeks away from officially kickstarting the season. And the Tribe, of course, will play their first home game in a little bit less than 3 weeks from today. Here to tell us more about the Tribe is Joel Hammond. Joel, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Before we get into all of that, you guys have released something a little bit earlier today. Not only will Cleveland Indians fans have a lot of opportunities to see the Tribe at Progressive Field downtown this summer, but you guys also have a couple of really cool trips planned this summer where you're allowing fans the opportunity to go watch the Indians on the road, including trips to Fenway Park and also to the south side of Chicago.
Yeah, we do this every year with a company out of Boston. I think they work with a number of different MLB teams where we let them handle all the details, and our fans are able to kind of have everything taken care of. We call them Indians destinations, and you're right. They get to go to Fenway this year. That's usually a consistent stop with one of these, and also to U.S. Cellular Field. I guess it's guaranteed right field now in Chicago to kind of travel with us. They get to meet a player. They get on-field experiences, ballpark tours, all that good stuff. And I believe it's all-inclusive. So it's a really great opportunity to kind of, you know, let us and let this company work with kind of handle all the details of your trip and just sit back and enjoy them. And again, Indians.com/destinations has all those details.
Indians.com/destinations. And it really is pretty awesome because it does include those VIP meet and greets. And I think a lot of those packages do include hotel, all that good stuff. So it really is a pretty awesome idea. And it really gives fans a different perspective, being able to go to a couple of other different ballparks around Major League Baseball, too. So that really does sound like a heck of a lot of fun. And as Joe mentioned, Indians.com/destinations. That's where you can go to find out more information. Well, talking about what's going on the field with the Tribe, I know at the end of last weekend, a few roster moves were made. The Major League Baseball spring training roster at last check, I believe, was at 43. Any idea when we can expect the next round of roster moves to be made?
Yeah, I mean, these last couple weeks of spring training, look, we're just getting our full roster back. So, you know, like Lindor and Miller and Roberto Perez won't be back until Friday. They play in the WBC championship game tonight. So, you know, really not until Friday will we have our whole roster back. But these last 10 days, we've still got a couple roster spots up for grabs. We talked about the utility job, third base now with, you know, what looks to be Jose Ramirez moving to second and Jason Kipnis' absence. You know, will Michael Brantley be ready, and how does that, you know, how does that impact the outfield? So you could see us go a little while longer until we make a few more cuts or moves, rather, just because we've got still some uncertainty at a few spots. But again, we will have that roster down, you know, by the end of next week when we break camp and go to Arizona for a couple exhibition games. You know, there's still some guys on the in big league camp who, you know, at 43 guys, all those guys aren't going to make the team. I mean, there's probably, you know, 30, 32 that still in the mix for those spots, that sort of thing. And so we'll use the rest of those guys just to kind of get us through the end of camp. And, you know, those cuts will be coming, you know, in the next week or so.
Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And talking a little bit more about these moves, I know you guys don't begin the season until that first Monday of the regular season. So obviously there's some time. It's a little less than 2 weeks away. At what point does the Tribe have to report to Major League Baseball what that official opening day roster is?
You know, I'm not sure exactly the date, but I believe, you know, by the end of, I don't know if there's a real official deadline. I'm sure there is, but, you know, we have to assign guys to different teams and stuff like that. So, again, by middle of next week or, you know, shortly thereafter, we'll have that set. We'll have those assignments to our affiliates. And, you know, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to go into that. Guys have to get there. You know, our affiliates have to make plans and all that stuff. So probably middle of next week we'll have things mostly sorted out, depending upon, you know, if there's, God forbid, another injury, or, you know, depending upon who we decide on third base or what Michael Brantley's status is, that sort of thing.
Well, we have to talk about the injuries. I mean, you just can't avoid them, especially in the spring. And, you know, I know not a whole lot has come out about Jason Kipnis. There are a lot of rumors talking about how much time he might actually miss. The last one I had heard was 4 to 5 weeks. Any new updates there you can provide on Kipnis as far as to when we could expect him to come back?
You know, we've gotten it's funny how social media works. We've gotten some flack on how we've handled, you know, talking about some of these injuries, talking about Kipnis. always said when Kipnis, nothing much has changed with Kipnis, even with the 4 to 5 week designation. We said, a couple weeks ago that he was going to be shut down for 2 weeks, and that hasn't changed. This progression is he'll resume, I think, end of this week. His hitting is throwing, strengthening programs, and then after that, you know, Kip has not really had a spring training. So after that, he'll take 2 to 3 weeks to get back into the swing of things, and if all goes well, he'll be ready to roll. So, as you know, Andy, I mean, there are things that happen. Our best laid plans would be to have were to have Kip, relax a little bit early in camp and be on our club at the start of the season. Look, things aren't perfect; things go wrong, and it didn't respond quite the way anyone thought it would. So here we are. The good news is we've built enough depth in our system and with our big league club that we can withstand that, and with Jose Ramirez moving to his more natural position at second base, I think we're in good shape.
Well, especially if he hits the way he did last year. I mean, J-Ram was just unbelievable last season, and I mean, him moving to second base certainly wouldn't be the worst thing. I think that certainly gives you a lot of options, as you mentioned, with all the depth that has been built, not only at the big league level, but in the entire system. It really does give you a heck of a lot of options. And look, I mean, the worst thing in the world is if Kipnis ends up missing a few more weeks, he goes back to extended spring training, gets his work in, gets himself ready. I think we would all be comfortable if he only missed the first few weeks, or even if he missed April and he took that extra week to get ready for May and be at full strength and he could hit the ground running. It would not be the worst thing in the world. And I think if you take a look as we transition to Michael Brantley, that kind of gives you an idea as to what waiting a little bit longer can do. I know it's early, and I know it's just it's a few at-bats, a Cactus League play, but boy, that really had to make you guys feel great when he swung the way he swung a few days ago. And that first bit of live action, it doesn't tell you everything, but it certainly does give you guys a lot of reason for optimism when you see shades of Michael Brantley of old.
It does, and he'll be in the lineup again today, just in a few short minutes, and out in Goodyear against the Rockies. And so it gives us a lot of optimism. I still think we're cautiously optimistic because, again, we talked about it, Andy. This is the time of his strengthening program and his rehab. Where he ran into trouble last year was the back-to-back. So he played Monday. We had an off day yesterday. He'll play today. He'll play tomorrow. And I think if he gets through Thursday, if he wakes up Friday morning and he's feeling okay, I think that's when we'll really be optimistic and that sort of thing, that he can open with us in Texas. So it's such a fickle thing. I don't think Michael Brantley wanted this to happen to himself. He got hurt on a play that never should have happened. If you remember in 2015, Danny Salazar had struck out the batter that hit the ball that ended up injuring Brantley. He went through all this. So it's good to see him back and swinging it. And he made some plays in the outfield too. So, I mean, again, if things go south, and unfortunately he doesn't respond well to these next few days in this 3-4 stretch, again, we have depth that I think we can withstand that. And look, our goal, as it's not to win April, it's to be around the whole season. And we think we have the team that can withstand an absence of Jason Kipnis or even an absence of Michael Brantley early on to get to where we want to go later in the year.
We're talking Tribe with Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I think another really good sign the other day was the performance of Carlos Carrasco. Boy, it seems like around here you kind of have to talk folks off the ledge when it comes to guys like Carrasco. And I think it's interesting how people sometimes will overreact to a couple of starts in the spring. Look, I mean, when you start pitching in the spring, sometimes it just takes guys a little bit of time to get their groove back. And I think if we've learned anything from the last couple of years from Carrasco, it's that there's no question about it. When he gets out there and he is locked in, you can make the argument that few, if any, are better in this rotation, and that's saying something given how strong this rotation really is. But to go back to one of your previous points, Joel, let's just say that in a less-than-ideal world, he's not where the Tribe really want him to be. There's all kinds of depth in that pitching staff as well.
Yeah, and, I think Cookie's got a few things going on. I think he felt something in his elbow, and so I think he was worried about it. Rob was actually there in Glendale when he got beat up by the Dodgers a little bit. I think he threw his fastballs that day because he felt a little something in his arm, and so he didn't want to snap off any breaking balls, and they touched up his fastball that day. So what we did is we got him an MRI. It eased his mind. There was some swelling, but there was no structural damage. Okay, cool. He's good to go. He pitched in a minor league game a couple days ago. He's got a lot on his mind, and his wife just had a baby. He's in Florida right now. He just became a father again, so congrats to him. But so he's got a lot in his mind, so he'll pitch. He's scheduled to start, on Friday. Yeah, 2 days from now, he's scheduled to start on Friday. The good news is he's healthy. Whether his mind will be all the way there on Friday, hopefully it is, but I know he's got a newborn back in Florida, so he might be a little preoccupied, but all indications are that his elbow's okay. And like you said, the way the schedule lines up early on, we don't need a fifth starter until the 15th of April. So if he needs to make a minor league start or stay in Arizona for a couple weeks, I think we can withstand that too. And again, our goals stretch far beyond April. And again, we think we have the depth that can withstand that. You know, Mike Clevinger and Ryan Merritt and a few other guys in the Adam Plutko in Triple A. So I think that that situation is will resolve itself pretty quickly.
Going to be a lot of fun to see what happens with Carrasco. And I think, boy, the times I've seen this happen, a lot of times I think there's just so much anxiety, there's just so much anticipation leading up to the birth of a child that sometimes when the child comes, mentally you're just so relieved, and that allows you to pitch a heck of a lot better. So I think there's something to be said for that. But again, congratulations to him on the birth of his child too. As you mentioned, he's down in Florida, scheduled to make that next start a couple days from today. It'll be a lot of fun to see how he progresses the next couple of weeks, and boy, are we excited for the beginning of the season too. We are a little bit less than 2 weeks away. We're looking forward to it. Now we'll go off the beaten path here a little bit. We want to include you, my friend, in our daily food for thought and our random question of the day. So we'll start with the daily food for thought. It is currywurst. Now, we kind of briefed you on this just a little before we brought you on the air. Are you giving the currywurst a yay or a nay?
I'll give it a yay. You can't go wrong, in my opinion, with any sort of wurst. Nothing better than going to the ballpark and having a bratwurst. So if it's anything like a bratwurst, I'll take it. I'm in.
Well, yeah, I mean, essentially, it's got the base of that, if nothing else, that you put some curry paste or some curry sauce on there. I don't think you can go wrong with it either. But then again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I have a lot of German blood in my system, so I would never say no to that. And
nope.
Then our social media poll question for today. You get to appear on one game show in your life. What game show would you choose to appear on?
I'm going to take you way back, even though I love Family Feud, and I think I'm pretty darn good at it. I'll take Match Game. If you remember this Match Game show with Richard Dawson, who went on to host Family Feud, and Gene Rayburn, you know, all the celebrities, Gene Rayburn would go kiss these celebrities. And if you have ever seen the Match Game show on Game Show Network, that is a classic, and I will take Match Game.
Wow, that's the second vote for Match Game. Somebody actually agreed with Rob Polinsky on something. That's a minor miracle in and of itself, because that was what he picked out when we posed this question to him. So Match Game for Joel Hammond, and yes, on currywurst. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. We enjoy it every single week, and hopefully when we talk to you next week, we'll have some more positive things to discuss. And boy, next week, we will really be on the countdown, as we'll be just a little bit less than a week away from opening day. Joel, thanks for the time as always.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
All righty. That's Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Time for a quick break, but we're coming right back in just about 90 seconds as Bullseye on the Afternoon continues on AM 930 WEOL.